Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Aleichem, Namaste, Pak Sat Nam, Sat Sri Akal Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanyan Wase Yake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. Today we will continue teaching about the differences between the physical body, the ethereal body, and move into teaching about the five levels of soul and the four levels of consciousness. Before I begin, however, I will do as I do at the beginning of every shiur, and that is I will recite the Kaddish for the dead and the mourners of the dead. So please close your eyes as you listen and remember someone to whom you are close who has passed away. In doing so, you will honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your own consciousness. Yiskidalvish kadash smeirabo, bolmo divero kirase, viamlik malkase, bekaya kon, uvyo makon, uvkaya dekol base Yisrael, baagalo, ubizman kardia veimro amen. Ye he smeirabo mavorak, leolam, ole, ome, omayo, yisparak veyistabak veyisparar veyiswarmam, veyis nase, veyisadar, veyisale, veyishalal, shmeidukadjo beraku, leelo minko berkaso, vishoroso, tushbekoso, venekamoso, daamiron, veomo, veyimru, omen. Ye he shlomo rabo, min shemayo, vekeyim olenu veyalkol Yisrael, veyimru, omen. Ose shalom bimramov, huyashe shalom olenu, Ve'al kol Yisrael, ve'imru, amen. Thank you very much. How are we doing on our recording levels? Boy, just down a little bit there. There we go. All right. Going to read a series of passages, short passages, some of which are taken directly from Torah, the written Torah, and some of which are taken from the writings of some Kabbalists and have the essence then of oral Torah. And here they are. The Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, a Kabbalist from 13th century Spain, said, "How can you expect me to be perfect when I am full of contradictions?" How did he become full of contradictions? Well, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, Torah tells us, Scripture says, "So God created man in his own image, Zelem, T-S-E-L-E-M, or T-Z-E-L-E-M. So God created man in his own image, God's own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them." So, if a man is filled with contradictions, and he's created in the image and likeness of God, then we can infer from that that God is filled with contradictions. Indeed, God is the source of all opposites. And we read in Genesis, and this is the first creation of man, and then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we have the second creation of man. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." And then in Job 32, verse 8, we find But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. An obvious allusion to Genesis 2:7, in which it says that Yahweh God breathed into the man formed the dust of the ground, formed from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So we have Job saying, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath, and that spirit is Ruach, the breath of the Almighty, which gives men understanding. Binah. The union of spirit, which is also in terms of the Sephirotic, the holy Sephirotic tree, the Eskayim, the tree of life, the ten holy Sephirot. Spirit is identified with the Sephira Hukma, which means wisdom. So we have a union in man between the physical and the ethereal, this physical body made from the dust of the ground, and an ethereal body, which is the image, Tzelem, of God, filled with contradictions, but ethereal, subtle, a subtle body, compared to the physical body, which is a coarse body. And this body was breathed into the physical body by the Holy One, blessed be He, through the physical body's nostrils. And this was the breath of life. And only with the coming in of the Ruach carrying the ethereal body and the spark, the holy spark or Nitzot, the Nefesh, does man become a living soul, a living being, a living soul as distinguished from a living being. There are living beings that do not possess divine souls. Neither do they possess a tzelem, because they are not made in the image of God. The tzelem literally means image. And it's the image of God that in which man and man alone was created, and about which Job speaks here when he says in chapter 32, verse 8, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. Now in Genesis 1:27, we find some curious language. It says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Why is this? Why it seems to be redundant. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. It's like a mirror. God created man in his own image. That's a straightforward transitive verb, created man. And it's got subject, transitive verb, direct object. God created man in his own image. But then look at this. In the image of God created he him. It's the order of the words is reversed. When we look at ourselves in a mirror, we see an image of ourselves. And that image is reversed. Right is left. Left is right. And so there is a secret in the word order in this biblical verse that goes right to the very fundamental moment of creation. And that is that when God made man in his own image, that image is the image of God, but in reverse, meaning that God is the higher being and man is the lower being. But man is a reflected image of God. And this goes to one of the probably the prime purpose for God's decision to create man, and that is that he wanted to have an other in which would reflect God's own image. Without a mirror, you or I cannot see what we look like. The only way that we can see what we are is to go and bend over the still waters of a pond and look into our reflections. And of course, that surface of the pond is the same thing as a mirror. It is a mirror. There are many mirrors, polished banisters of mahogany, or in a fancy home. Polished gemstones. Polished glass with reflective metal behind them. And before we had glass mirrors, we had polished copper and bronze and silver mirrors. So in the order of the language here, which is doubled and reversed, we see what God is doing. God is recreating, in a sense, a doppelganger, is making a doppelganger of himself in the form of man. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But before that, he devised the image. Before he did that, he had to make the crystalline lattice, the crystalline structure, the lattice upon which all men would be made. And so it says, prior to that, before breathing life into him, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. Okay, so in that order there is this doubling of language and this reversal of image of language. We see that God has created a mirror image of himself. And that is one of man's prime functions, is to serve as a mirror by which God can see his own into his own nature. And through which man can reflect, if he chooses rightly and properly, the righteous path to follow in this life, the glory of God. There is also a redundancy here in this verse in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. There's another reason for that. And that is to reflect the union of two aspects, of male and female, which is, it follows up and says, male and female, he created them. There's a union there. By repeating that, there's a union between spirit and understanding. Chokmah, which is wisdom, and Binah, which is understanding. Chokmah, in the Sephirotic tree, is also wisdom, but it's also has a partsuf, meaning a countenance, a personality, a hypostasis, so to speak. I'll just say a personality or hidden countenance, a hidden face. Okay? And that is of Abba, meaning father. Binah has a partsuf, or hidden countenance, of the female aspect of all the world, of all creation. The female aspect of God, meaning mother. And indeed, Binah is also called the womb of creation, the womb of the cosmos. And so, by repeating these two things, the first one being, so God created man in his own image, this is a reference to Abba, father, Chokmah, wisdom. And then in the second part, in which it's reversed, but doubled it but reversed, we have, in the image of God created he him. And then it sums it up by saying, male and female, he created them. The second portion, which is, in the image of God created he him, is a reference to Binah, to the feminine, to Ima, mother. So we have a union not only of wisdom and understanding from which come forth man, but a union of heavenly father and heavenly mother. So this verse, Genesis 1:27, signifies the marriage of the heavenly father and the heavenly mother of wisdom and understanding, out of which union comes forth or is born the ethereal body of man, which is in the image or tzelem of God. And as you can see by now, I've been talking about this tzelem and these passages in Torah for three or four meetings now, and there is never an end to the levels of interpretation, because God is infinite, and Torah is infinite. Indeed, the sages teach us that every single letter of Torah contains a complete Torah itself. So it's infinite, because each one of the letters of that Torah contains another complete Torah, on, ad infinitum. Now then, two more statements to make here, and then I'll move on. Two more to read, excuse me. About this tzelem. It should be known that the man himself is the spirit that is within the body, and the body enclothes the man and is not the man himself. Okay, and that's taken from the writings of Rabbi Chaim Vital in his book titled Shar HaGilgal, The Gateway to Reincarnation. And then we have this, taken from a treatise on the essence of the soul written in Arabic during the 11th century by a Jewish Neoplatonist philosopher, okay, in Andalusia, which is a portion, I believe that's southern Spain. And this is even older than the one that I just read you. Rabbi Chaim Vital wrote in the last half of the 16th century. But this Jewish Neoplatonist was writing in the 11th century in Spain. And he says about the subject of the physical and the ethereal body, he says, the body is divided into two parts. The body that is visible to the senses, which is completely revealed, so that it is superfluous to give any proof thereof. And another body concealed from the senses, which is called the bodily essence. Now, the language of this sentence is obviously the language of a philosopher, not a Kabbalist. Because he's talking about the need to present proofs of statements, which he's making, and the first part of which he talks about, where he says the body is divided into two parts, the first being the body visible to the senses and thus being completely revealed, so no proof is needed. He's talking about our physical bodies. That's the body that we have that is visible to our senses. We can see it in a mirror. We can see our hands when we hold them up in front of our faces, or our shoes on our feet when we take them off, and our socks. We can see our feet and our toes. So it's visible to the senses. We can feel it. We can push on it and sense it by touch. We can hear it if we clap our hands. We can hear the sound that it makes, as well as feel the sting in between our fingers and palms. So there's no need to make a proof that our physical body exists. We can sense it by our five senses, therefore it exists. To borrow another philosopher's proofs. But the second part, where he says, and another body, so this is the second body, okay, is concealed from the senses, and it is called the bodily essence. Now, he just uses the words, the bodily essence. He's saying that the essence of who we are is another body concealed from the senses. Means that I can't see it, can't hear it, can't feel it. It has no taste. It's odorless. Which, as we know, our physical bodies oftentimes have a taste. Oftentimes have unpleasant odors. Okay, but the essence of who we are, the essence of who we of our bodily essence in any event, is invisible and cannot be sensed by any of the five senses. What he's referring to here is referring to the tzelem. This is the ethereal body as opposed to the physical body, the ethereal body. And it resides, as we know from what Rabbi Chaim Vital told us in the 16th century, that it resides within the body. He says, it should be known that the man himself is the spirit, which is in line with what this Neoplatonist wrote in the 11th century. The bodily essence, the essence of who we are. So Rabbi Chaim Vital, passing on the teachings of the Arizal, says it should be known that the man himself, in other words, his essence, is the spirit that is within the body. And the body encloses the man and is not the man himself. So the man himself is his spirit enclosed within the physical body. So this ethereal body, which I will just go ahead and use this term too, this astral body, because so many more people in this day and age are familiar with that term and concept, this ethereal, subtle, astral, spiritual body is the true essence of who we are. And it has been made by God, as we learned in Genesis 1:27, in God's image, Zelem. All right, enough on that. I will finish now and transition over to discussing the five levels of soul and get that started for the day. Well, let me just check our time. Yeah, we have time to get this going. Okay. Rabbi Chaim Vital, in passing on the teachings of Rabbi Isaac Luria, known as the Arizal, said, let it be known that man unites together all the four worlds, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiyah, and therefore, in order to unite these four worlds, he must have in him parts from these four worlds. These parts from the four worlds are called Naranki. N as in Nun, A, R as in Resh, A, N as in Nun, Het, CH as in Het, and Y as in Yod. Okay? Which is an abbreviation taking the first letters of the five names of the soul, which are from the bottom, coarsest level, impure level, up, going up the scale to the highest, most spiritual level of soul, are these: Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida, the five names of the soul, which is abbreviated in a mnemonic known as Naranhi. Okay. Now let's talk about this. These are the five levels of the divine soul. Now remember, man has two souls, two sets of souls. He has the vivifying vital spark which animates his physical body, which is called nefesh. He also has, and so that's his quote-unquote animal soul. That's the soul that animates his animal self. What's his animal self? It's his physical body. Okay, so he has an animal soul, which consists only of one level, nephesh, which, as I have taught, is in reality not a soul at all, but is a nitzot, a holy spark, an animating spark. Okay, but he also has an ethereal body. And just as the physical body, the coarse body, has an animating spark, so too, called a nefesh, so too does the ethereal body, the tselem. And that is called nefesh. But this nefesh is attached to and proceeds from the divine soul in heaven, at the very top, the soul of souls. From the soul of souls, called Yechida, Y-E-C-H-I-D-A, meaning the soul of all souls, comes forth all individual divine souls. Okay, and it is to that, or it is from that, that the Tselem acquires its own nefesh when it descends into the human fetus prior to birth. And so we are born with a physical body that has an animating nefesh, that's our animal soul, and we are born with that physical body contains an ethereal body, or astral body, spiritual body, known as the image, in the image of God. And that has an animating spark, known as a nefesh, which is attached to and therefore has the means, if we choose to do so, of drawing down four more levels of higher spiritually attained soul. Okay? Now, in the beginning, when we are infants and very young children, we possess only the bottommost level of soul. That's given to us. We have the nefesh, or the animal soul of the physical body, which animates the body, and is attached to the klipot, the evil shells of the abyss, the left-hand side, the sitra akra. And it draws down, or into it, I should say, up into it and into us, evil thoughts and corrupt influences from the sitra akra. All of this is, as we have said earlier, is the yetzer hara, the evil urge, which has been attached to our bodies through the nefesh, or vital spark, or soul, excuse me, the vital soul of the physical body. But it seeks to dominate also our minds and spirits. Now, our minds are neutral. And that is the forum in which the competing urges, the urge to do good, the yetzer hatov, and the urge to do evil, the yetzer hara, in which they duke it out for control and influence, is within our minds. Okay? And we also have the nefesh, or animating soul, of the divine soul, which God exiled into this world of forms and names and bound to our physical bodies. This divine spark, or nefesh, or nitzat, animates our spiritual body, the tselem, and is attached to its root in the supernal world, and draws to it, if we have been raised in the study of Torah, this is when we are children, and raised in the pursuit of God, after our 13th year of life, if we are male children, and after our 12th year of life, if we are female children, it draws to us a higher level of divine soul called the Ruach, which literally means breath, wind, or spirit. Okay? This is a second level of soul. And it's not that hard to attain. children who are taught the existence of the one true God, as opposed to worshiping like idol worship, paganism, things of this nature, who are taught that God exists in that child and in the world and everything in the world, and that God is calling that child to perfection and to into the service of that God as an adult, and who learns something of that God from whatever holy scripture the child is being taught, whether it's the Upanishads, the New Testament, the Old Testament, doesn't make any difference. Any scriptures which are revelations of the Holy Spirit to man in his unique place and time, as they are given, and the Quran, doesn't matter. Any child who is raised in a household by parents who are loving parents and who seek to instill in that child the knowledge of God and the love of God and the fear of God, meaning awe, fear in the sense of awe of God's power and God's omniscience and God's works and mightiness, then that child is going to be given, when he comes of age, okay, in quotes, the coming of age. For boys, that's in Judaism, that's the end of the 13th year of life. And for girls, because they develop more rapidly physically, that's at the end of the 12th year of life. They are going to be given, they will draw down by the grace of God and according to their merit and the merit of their parents in raising them this way, they're going to draw down a ruach. And it won't matter if they're Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, Native American, whatever. All of those things are picayune details that make no difference to God. Okay? So they will, so if, and this includes probably every person to whom I am speaking, who's listening to this, because you do not acquire what Gurdjieff called a magnetic center, meaning that you draw to you, that you are drawn to God, and God is drawn to you magnetically, as if it were God were a magnet, and you were a magnetized piece of metal that responds to magnetic waves. So you wouldn't be listening to this if you had not developed this magnetic center. And what I'm saying by that is it's been given a ruach in Jewish mystical Kabbalistic terms. You have been given a ruach. So now know this. There are three more levels of soul that a righteous person can attain to, and with hard work towards self-perfection, even attain. Those levels are in order, from lowest going up to higher and highest levels: neshama, chaya, and yahida. Okay, let me check my time because this might be a good place to break, and it is. We're going to break here, and we will continue this on Monday, and I will discuss with you on Monday how these levels of soul correspond to the five worlds and how they correspond with gradations of light to the five parts of Fim that are contained within each of the five worlds. Okay? And I'll discuss that in a lot more detail. In the meantime, today being Wednesday, our next meeting opportunity will be at 10 p.m., Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, this Friday, Erev Shabbat, and I will be doing a Erev Shabbat worship service and Shabbos table, and I hope that you will join us. It will be in in a Pal Talk room, which you'll have no trouble finding, and under the same Jewish category. So you're invited to that. This live teaching that I've given today has been recorded and saved as an MP3 file, and it will be rebroadcast tonight in the same room at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And so you're welcome more if you have any friends that would like to come, tell them about it. And in the meantime, between now and when I see you again, I ask that God bless you and keep you. And please remember God at least twice a day. May you go from strength to strength. Be well. Zagaz.